This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to speak to Andres Berzins, who is the director of, who's the vice president of marketing and business development at AeroScout. Welcome to Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you give us just a little bit of background about the company AeroScout and where it came from and what its mission is now?
Yeah, so we're a company that has a mission of taking wireless data communications, today being really focused on Wi-Fi wireless,
right,
and basically expanding the capabilities from being just a data transmission network to providing visibility. And what we mean by visibility is all the features, especially around location, being able to locate assets and people, and communicate the movement, changes in business events, using all of that same infrastructure that's Wi-Fi.
Okay, as our listeners start to imagine what kind of things this can be used for, why don't you tell us just a little bit about the company's origins?
You mean in terms of...
As a company.
Yes. Well, the company was founded about 5 years ago. We're a venture-funded company, and we have always been a technology company, and have been focused on developing new applications for these technologies. And what we've done with this solution is taking it in a number of directions for different markets.
Okay. Well, why don't we talk? What's your biggest market right now?
So our main markets are actually logistics and manufacturing.
Okay.
Looking at being able to track business assets that are high value. And a good example would be an installation we did at American Port Services.
Okay.
In Savannah, Georgia, where we're tracking about 1,200 containers and trailers.
Right.
In a large 60-acre yard. And what we're doing is tagging those trailers with our Wi-Fi-based asset tags, RFID asset tags.
What kind of form factors do those come in, if people want to picture them?
If you picture it, think of something that's a small, it's the size of a couple of quarters, a little plastic box that has a Wi-Fi radio in it that basically chirps on a predefined interval. And these things are robust and weatherproof and so forth, and we actually put them on the trailers, and then they transmit every so often, and the system picks up those messages, and we actually triangulate to locate them, and then the software that we've integrated with that allows the company operating the yard, American Port Services, to optimize the movement flow in and out of the yard, of the trailers, movement to the dock doors, so that they get much more efficient about their process.
Okay, now, beyond indicating that it's there, are these devices able to transmit information about the status of the object they're attached to?
Well, they come in several flavors. So the standard flavor does not. The standard flavor transmits its ID, essentially.
It says, I'm here, and this is who I am.
It says, I'm here, this is who I am. And then in the application side, obviously, you can relate that to whatever that
right.
tag is attached to. There are applications we're working on which would actually pull data from a device that the tag is attached to. One example is a truck manufacturer we're working with to pull fuel mileage information directly from the truck's computer and be able to transmit it along with that location information.
Or more than fuel mileage. I mean, anything that can get into the transmitter or the transceiver could be conveyed as well.
Right.
Movement of the brakes or the steering wheel or the gear shift could also be transmitted, right?
You could even do that. You typically are looking to be able to keep the transmission small and transmit only really important events.
Right.
Might look at engine events when you have problems with the engine, maintenance requirements, need an oil change, all of these things, and to be able to, for example, automate fleet maintenance to a much greater extent than just changing the oil every 3,000 miles just because that's what you think the right time is.
So essentially the idea is that you put these devices on high-value objects, and you take the highest value information from those objects and transmit that.
Yes, and that can be in all sorts of segments. So other areas might be in manufacturing where we're looking at tracking things like expensive tooling and equipment in aerospace industry, so in aircraft hangars, the equipment used to build the planes, even parts of the planes themselves. In other areas, might be semiconductor facilities, tracking the equipment used in the facility. That's all very expensive, and what the manufacturers find is they tend to have too much of it because it's not used efficiently, and they also can have production downtime just because they're not able to find a specific piece that's needed for that production at that time.
Downtime
is very expensive.
So with your system, you can have fewer iterations, fewer examples of the device, and know where they are at all times and be able to schedule them much more efficiently.
That's right.
As well as, I assume, knowing whether someone's walking off the premises with one.
Yes.
We're going to talk more about security applications, but talk now in more detail about what you mentioned, the term triangulation, and how your system adds the value by being able to figure out exactly where these objects are and to what dimensions can you do that?
Yeah, so basically there's a lot of RFID tags out there that can be read going through a doorway or a gate.
Right.
The typical passive tags, you know when they enter or exit a zone. What we do is actually with our infrastructure we can triangulate. So the tag is transmitting on its own independently, and we pick that up with a network of three or more of the readers, and then we actually use triangulation mathematics to determine where that signal came from.
So in fact, it's the reverse of GPS,
exactly.
which tells you where you are by the time it takes signals from different satellites to get to you. In this sense, it's the object is transmitting, and you calculate how long it took to get to the different points.
That's exactly how it works.
Okay, and what kind of readout do you get? Are there screens, and you see little red dots, or how does that work?
There's an application that's used to set up and configure and manage the system itself, which has a screen so you can see that you've set it up properly. But beyond that, the application screens vary by application. So we have a product called MobileView that's used as a base for a lot of different environments where you have screens that allow you to search by asset type, by asset name, by categories, and then see a visual map display or see a tabular list, come up with reports on what's happened to a variety of assets over time where they may have gone through various processes. And then in some industries, we integrate with third-party vendors that have application-specific software. So in the case of American Port Services, it's yard management software that has sophisticated algorithms for doing all of the optimization of the movement. We provide them the data, and they do that optimization.
So essentially, you provide the input. They have algorithms that will process it, and then they make decisions and do further steps based on that.
That's right. And so it varies by industry.
Okay. Now, what kind of scale are we talking about here? A single room, a big factory, a campus? What are the ranges of scale here?
Anything up to a campus. So basically being able to cover either indoor areas, entire buildings, indoor and outdoor areas. We have some applications where part of the installation is indoors and part is in the grounds outdoors, or entirely outdoor areas. So another example of an installation we've done is in Legoland in Denmark, where we have about 2.5 million square feet covered with the location coverage, and locating tags outdoors.
Okay, now do you make everything here from soup to nuts, from the tags to the Wi-Fi access points to the servers that evaluate everything, or do you also ride on top of other people's Wi-Fi nodes?
Well, we actually make, we design the tags.
Right.
We design our location receivers, which are the location sensors. We interoperate with standard Wi-Fi access points, and all of the components we use in our products are also off the shelf. So we use off the shelf Wi-Fi radios, and that's part of the way that we can actually get a very good cost advantage and an attractive pricing on the solution.
So that means, for example, I did an interview this morning with someone from Verge Wireless Networks. They're putting Wi-Fi into Pershing Square in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that using Tropos transceivers, could you then go in and add something to each of those transceivers to upgrade them to be able to handle your applications?
Effectively, yes. The there's a longer answer as to exactly the details, but yes.
Or you could start from scratch, and you could. Are you in the business of providing Wi-Fi to places that don't have it at all?
We actually are not in the business of providing Wi-Fi access. We do have products that have combined Wi-Fi access points and our location receivers. So
right.
We're a Cisco partner. We can provide a unit that's integrated with Cisco and partner with other access point vendors like Intermec. But we're not in the business of selling access points and Wi-Fi access ourselves.
Okay, but you can provide it if...
Provide a combined solution where that's needed.
Okay, and you can essentially retrofit an existing Wi-Fi installation.
Yes.
Okay. Is WiMAX going to allow you to do the same thing over a wider area?
I think WiMAX is, from our perspective, quite a ways off still.
Okay.
Part of the reason is that the bulk of our business revolves around tracking tags.
Right.
And obviously for tags, battery life is one of the key issues, and we have very good performance industry leading on the life of our tags. It's up to 5 years.
Right.
And with WiMAX, this gets a lot more complicated because the power requirements of WiMAX are significantly higher. I think
right.
in a few years from now, that's definitely something that might have promise.
Okay.
Obviously, you could get longer range, and maybe with a reduced battery life.
Right. Say more about what's going on at Legoland in Denmark. Are these tags on objects or people?
They're actually on people. The system was installed last spring, and they have tags that they rent out to the visitors of the park.
Right.
And the way it works is the parents put the tags on their children's wrists, and we have a wrist strap version. And when they get separated, the parents send an SMS message, a text message.
Where's the kid?
To a certain number.
Right.
And they get a reply back saying, your child is in square A3.
Right.
Corresponds to a map that they're given that divides the park up into a grid.
Right. Now, obviously, these would be very useful in schools. I've seen documentary segments about Japanese schools where all the students have tags of some kind, RFID, I think, in their backpacks. Are you involved with that? Is that a cost-effective application for your technology? Children are, I guess, if you want to call them that, the most valuable assets anyone has.
They're clearly very valuable assets. I appreciate that. It's not an application area that we have had as much involvement in to date,
right?
But certainly, we believe we have a very compelling solution for that area.
All right, and you're open to doing that if schools that are interested in security wanted to provide that.
Yes, and we do have some efforts underway, but it's just not been the majority of our business to date.
Okay, could you estimate what the cost would be in a campus with 1,000 children to set something like this up for the infrastructure and for 1,000 tags?
It's really hard to tell you just off the top of my head like that.
Because, right.
Largely, it depends on the geography of the campus.
Right.
On the size of the area to be covered.
Okay.
So it's something that really needs to be looked at more on a case-by-case basis.
All right. Any other aspects of this that we haven't covered on the technical side?
I think not. I think the key is that what we're really seeing is a convergence that RFID interest is growing, partly driven by the noise that Walmart is making in the market.
Right.
And at the same time, Wi-Fi is being deployed, close to pervasively in some areas now, and so that convergence is really helping us because we're really at the cutting edge of both of those technologies.
All right. And is AeroScout privately held, publicly traded?
It's a privately held company.
Any plans to go public? You want to announce here?
Nothing I can announce here, no.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do what your technology does and keep in touch and talk about this more going forward and see what new applications can be implemented using this very interesting enterprise visibility technology.
Sounds good.
Thanks for talking to us today on Broadband Wireless Access World.
No problem. You're welcome. Thank
okay.
You.
Bye.
Bye.